This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad may be becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh, if I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'll get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Do You Hear What I Hear? And we're going to talk about it today on Good Christmas Fun.
And you can't even wrap this under the tree, but here comes Christmas for me.
Do you think you can make God laugh?
No. You're a clown if you say.
Hey.
I'm a Christian wife.
Sicario.
Everything.
White women are notoriously shifty.
Wanna get in the bathtub?
You should be upset that I had a laugh with her.
Clean up on aisle butt.
Hey, look, I see snow, I smell snow, oh, it's coming down right now, oh my God, welcome to Good Christmas Fun, Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Christmas Caroline.
Ooh, and I'm Christmas Kevin, I'm Santa. Who am I? Kevin T. Porter.
I feel like we tried to figure this out before, your Christmas name pun. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Bitch.
That's it, we got it. Rudolph the red-haired bitch, I think, is maybe.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, listeners, if you have any other suggestions, send them our way.
Please, and make them mean. Make them as mean as, say, Caroline's three consecutive replies to Celebrity Doppelganger Day on Twitter.
Hey, I got no faves from you, no replies. You're playing it so cool, and you saw them all.
You got 150 likes.
That's a real Christmas bitch. Yeah, but the one that matters the most is from my friend Kevin.
That's very sweet. I feel the same. Same way about you. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies, the music, and the entertainment usually made for and usually made by Christians. And sometimes it's a little bit not that for Christians and it's not that by Christians, which may be the case now in this series of Good Christmas Fun, which is for everyone. It's for department stores. It's for capitalism. It's for anyone who wants to share a Coke with a polar bear and Santa Claus.
Should we call it Good Holiday Fun and make it more inclusive?
Yeah, no, we'll save that. We'll save Good Holiday Fun for the Patreon, which is behind a paywall. We want to be inclusive for
$5
a month.
We want to be inclusive behind the paywall.
Yes.
But outside the paywall, there are barriers and there is no entry.
I just feel like boundaries are important.
No, yeah, this is about boundaries right now.
Yeah, and practicing good boundaries is really important too, as mm-hmm. as we're all finding out. So, you know, and just a little peek behind the curtain, this is coming out a few weeks after recording this. By the time you hear this, all three of us will have the novel coronavirus.
Just, you can't even wrap that under the tree.
Inevitably, here comes Corona for me. Here comes COVID for me.
And that is hopefully not the truth.
Here we go. You know,
based on, you know, how things are going. Yeah. Are you battening down the hatches for the holiday season, Kevin?
You mean chastity wise? Absolutely. And in fact, I've been preparing for this moment for a long time.
That's never been a question in my mind, honestly. But the,
for
the,
frickin' the social,
you know, no more social interactions. Close your windows, close your doors, no neighbors, no outside mail, no outside food, growing your own food, just keeping it nice and locked down.
I do have no neighbors I share a wall with right now, and that's a double-edged sword.
It's time to expand your apartment. Knock that wall down.
Just knock the wall down. Just don't tell my landlord. No, that'd be fine. Yeah. We're talking about a standard, some might say. Do you hear what I hear? Which is a song about bragging about your hearing ability.
It's an ableism song.
It's an ableist anthem that is marginalizing the hearing disabled community.
And well, our theme is barriers.
Yeah. And if you want a more inclusive song, Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for just $5 a month. We take PayPal. We take credit card. We take freaking Venmo, Bevmo, Elmo. I certainly take Elmo, okay?
Take two Elmos.
Take two Elmos and never call you again. But we're going to need a very special guest to help us in this endeavor. So let's introduce her right now. Friends and folks, she's a writer. She's a podcaster. You may know her from her shows, Molly Sleazy Friends or the Night Call Podcast. Give it the hell up for Molly Lambert.
Jingle my bells.
And this is the rest of the podcast. We don't talk, Molly. We just do this. Molly, thank you so much for joining us on the show, friend.
Wow, thanks for having me. That's the best introduction I've ever had for anything in my life.
Yes.
That's a GCF signature.
We love to hear it. I know. It's always, you want something. You want something that says you belong. You're welcome. You're loved here.
Yeah, we're excited.
What is that jam? What is that?
Yeah.
That's a song called Sing Your Praise to the Lord, written by Rich Mullins, who wrote Awesome God, which is a song you're familiar with.
That's right, yeah.
And as sung by Amy motherfucking Grant.
Amy motherfucking Grant.
Yeah. That's right.
That was when we were trying to come up with something for me to do on the show. I was like, well, I wasn't raised religious at all, mm-hmm. but like I love some good Christian music.
Yeah.
Because it
you
has
were talking
no...
About- You were talking about Our God's an Awesome God. You're talking about a little bit of Michael W. Smith as well, our favorite little...
Yeah, just like, you know, I like to go through genres, and at a certain point you run out of things and start getting into things like Christian yacht rock, and then you find out it's a whole world, and it rules.
Molly, that is extremely unique, I have to say. I don't see most people making it through all the genres and finally getting to the discount section of music, is what I would call CCM.
I'm done with jazz. Time for,
you know, my boyfriend had played me a really good Amy Grant song, though, a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is a jam.
Which one was that?
It was like, are you living in an old man's trouble, I think is what it's called.
What is that?
It was just some old Amy Grant song, and it ruled.
I think I got you right here. It's are you living in an old man's, not trouble, but rubble. Here we go.
Rubble.
This is Old Man's Rubble. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? Of lies? Are you walking with
unnecessary burdens? Are you trying to take them upon yourself? Wait, this is very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's kind of hot, right? Like, we're all thinking that.
Well, and are you trying Amy Grant, too, she was like... a little bit excommunicated from Christian music because of Getting with Vance Gilligan.
Mm-hmm.
We elongated his name to Vince Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan's the guy who does Gilligan. That's the guy who does Breaking Bad, and it would be really amazing if he was married to Amy Grant.
Vince Gilligan. Oh yeah, Amy did a terrific job in that last
entertainment
album.
Power,
can you imagine?
I mean, they are.
Now imagine Skylar White as played by Amy Grant, and isn't that interesting? Oh, it gracious is. Well, Molly, we know you don't have a lot of experience with religion and the faith, but what did you have growing up? Any exposure to any sort of religiosity at all? What was it like?
I mean, very secular. Mm-hmm. I'm like a classic half Jewish, half Irish Catholic.
Classic. Vintage.
Person. So yeah, I just got a lot of guilt and shame on both sides, but we do like everything secular. I think, you know, my mom lapsed as a Catholic pretty early on, so she didn't ever make us go to church or anything. Mm. We all had our own choices if we wanted to do like a bar mitzvah. There was just no pressure because I have cool hippie parents.
Was this growing up in the Valley as well? In Los Angeles? Okay.
Yeah.
A1A till you die?
Yeah. And I definitely was like interested in other people who had more religious upbringings because it seemed exotic to me, which is funny. You know, and I have friends who grew up in like Texas with like a lot of Christian pop culture. And I just feel like because I have no connection to it, I'm just like, ooh, this is great. It doesn't like remind me of, you know, oppressive Sunday school or anything like it might for other people.
Yes, you are a person without triggers as far as religion goes.
Yeah, I think I never found the right fit for me personally. Mm-hmm. I'm more of like into all the different religions.
Did you have like an exploration period where you were looking around for other stuff?
I mean, my parents are hippies, so like the stuff that we had in our house is like the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying and like, you know, Buddhist stuff. And I definitely identified with that more than anything else. You know, got into Zen Buddhism, like your traditional person going through their Beat Generation phase.
What would you do when you are exploring Zen Buddhism? I haven't given it a shot yet.
Well, I love it because it's all about just sort of, you know, the here and now. There's no veil of tears involved. I mean, Buddhism is also like life is pain, which always I was like, that one makes sense to me.
That tracks.
More than some
like
of the
absolute
others.
Absolute truth.
Yeah. And there are definitely ways in which I identify with like both Catholicism and Judaism a little bit. You know, I love the accessorizing in Catholicism, the best accessory game in the whole Absolutely. Christian pantheon.
We're talking robes, beads, we're talking great gowns, beautiful gowns, as great Aretha gowns. Said about the Catholic faith. Yes.
They wear gowns, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and I identify with the Jewish side on the like perennial outsider, nowhere is your home kind of, you know, tip, which is part of why we're going to talk about Christmas songs.
Sure. Well, did you ever have like any sense that God existed at all? Or was it, I'm always so curious because it feels to me like the logical track for anyone who would be agnostic or atheist is like, you believe in God a little bit or maybe a lot, and then you don't. It's so hard for me, even, it's so dumb because obviously it exists all the time, but it's so hard for me even now as an adult to be like, so you just like, were never into it? You never.
No, I was never into it. And like, this is very, very dark, but you know, maybe it's because some of my family was killed off in the Holocaust on the Jewish side, which makes it, you know, you just gives you a different point of view about like how the world is. It's like, well, then things would be pretty bad if this was happening and there was a plan to it. You know, and also my Jewish grandparents were secular Jews. They were like not religious Jews at all. And it, you know, didn't matter. So I think I just came with a general skepticism about everything.
Yeah, that persists to this day, to every part of your life.
But I asked my mom, I was like, when did you lapse as a Catholic? Because she was like a real, you know, brought up Catholic. And she said pretty early on because she had a best friend who was Jewish. And in Sunday school, they were like, all the Jews are like going to hell. And she was like, oh yeah, what about my friend who I brought right here?
Ooh,
is she going to
hell?
Oh my hell?
Gosh, it's like an episode of Maury. Oh. Whoa!
Which I thought also is a really funny just like kid gotcha. It's such a like Lisa Simpson, just like,
I love
oh,
it.
Oh, so you're saying that like she's going to hell, this like innocent child? But yeah, she said she realized pretty early on that it was like a lot of stuff she didn't fully believe in or agree with. So I think they were very just like, we're not going to push anything on you and you can get into whatever you want.
Yeah.
And neither my brother or I really were like, you know, let's have a super religious awakening phase. Yeah. He had a bar mitzvah, which I later realized was smart because he got lots of things. But I was like,
yeah, you
the last thing
things.
I want when I'm 12 is to like get up in front of people and do something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the performance aspect.
But the haul that you would get, the absolute yeah. load of gifts.
The swag
but yeah, there was
bag.
Just the swag.
I would trade it. I would
the
do air, it.
The airbrush t-shirts.
I think it's so, I mean, I guess like anything in our lives, but especially religion, it's amazing how much like we still are carrying on the legacy usually of like what our grandparents or their parents even decided. Like I feel like your secular Jewish grandparents had a big influence then on your parents. And like you said, your family and like the Holocaust history, like that trickled all the way down to you now who had total freedom of choice. And on the inverse, I've heard many people too that were like, my grandpa was a pastor, my dad was a pastor, or I was raised in the church hardcore. You know, like we are just a pure legacy a lot of the time with our mm-hmm. religious upbringing.
Yeah, I think people are a pure legacy with religion most of the time. And I've also, we've had like back and forths about it on Night Call because Tess and Emily both come from more of a religious background than I do, especially Emily, you know, where I've been like, well, if you're pro-choice, like you just should leave the Catholic Church. And they were more like, what if you stay in the Catholic Church and convince other Catholics to become pro-choice? Like, wouldn't that be better than just abandoning it? And I feel like I've come around to their point of view a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people need community. We can see that especially now. Just like people really need groups to be in and humans with which to communicate.
What do you feel yeah. like were some of the communities that like supplanted, if that was something that you thought other kids experienced, or even maybe even in your adult life, what like church community was for other people? What do you think that thing was for you?
I don't know, because I did feel like I didn't feel connected to other kids that I knew who were like the same faith as me necessarily. I guess just like, you know, friendship families, like chosen families.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are special.
Group texts. Group texts are the church of 2020.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah.
Facebook groups.
You dog on Facebook groups? Some Facebook groups are good.
Oh, especially, we have a Night Call Facebook group, and it is very active, so.
Yeah, and probably not toxic, because it's probably closed off, and weirdos get kicked
well,
out.
Well, yeah, and because Tess moderates it.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
I won't go on there, so I understand all points of view.
Yep.
And see, yeah. that's why it's just a failure of the church that these technocrats have risen to power.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a little more Jesus and a little less Zuckerberg. Wait, that sounds anti-Semitic.
Pope Dorsey.
And Dorsey. Gracious. Yes.
Archdeacon Instagram CEO. I don't yes. know their name.
Father Musk, I pray before thee. Gracious. I know.
Church of Black.
Have you been here your whole life here in Los Angeles?
Almost. Yeah. I went to college on the East Coast, but okay. I came back nice. Right afterwards.
So I would be curious to see if you've observed any sort of like shift in how religion has been performed or how it's functioned in the greater Los Angeles area. Like if you've seen actual shifts.
I mean, I got freaked out the other day, actually, because my friends live down the street from a church and there were people in the church singing without masks on. And that was very scary because I was like, here's this thing that like should be joyful and normally is. But now it's a nightmare and I'm not going to like narc on this church or anything.
I'll narc on him.
It just stressed me out. It stressed me out. I don't know. It just... Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just harder to gather now for anyone, although that's, you know, we got these virtual gatherings, but it's not the same.
No. But you know what? On that topic, though, I feel like churches that are still meeting right now and doing this very thing, they are showing that they have an idolatry for church. Like, they idolize the church over everything, over people's lives, over safety. Mm-hmm. Or, and like, it's probably also the pastor that it's like, I need everybody to hear my goddamn sermon in person, be influenced. Like, it's a total ego thing too.
It's
and
so
they
funny.
Have to gather, and their spiritual lives will completely suffer if they don't hear me today, you know, and gather. And that to me is a kind of idolatry, and I hope that they hear this.
I mean, I've seen we'll send it to them. I've also seen there's like some socially distanced church now, which I think is very interesting. There's like a few churches by me that have just moved like outside.
Oh yeah.
That seems fine.
Can I get an amen?
That is the crazy part of it too. It's like that is an option, you know, and it is significantly safer. Like, you can do that.
So yeah, that's the thing. You can gather, just be wear masks and be farther apart from each other than you normally would. Just don't go in the church. But I also am sympathetic to the idea that people have like a, you know, superstitious almost connection to going to church, where they feel like if they stop, like something bad will happen.
Yeah, a lot of people probably feel that way.
Even though if they keep going, something bad might happen. It's the real issue.
It is like a really important routine for a lot of people. Well, I was even thinking of Kevin, you were talking earlier that like earlier in the pandemic that like you just miss the opportunity to like talk after the service. Like, that's the best part.
That's the best part. It's pizza
and that's
afterwards.
Like, that sustains like so much of life, you know, literally.
Absolutely.
Like that post-church hang. So I totally also beyond my diatribe, like, feel for people that want to like get together because it's such like an important habit to being happy.
Well, you just miss running into people too. That's why like all the celebration on the Saturday that they call the election was so fun, just to be safely with mass and stuff, but just to run into, oh my God, Molly, what are you doing here? Like all that stuff, which is just an opportunity sorely lacking right now. But yes, the culture war of the necessity of gathering in person is so funny. I mean, it's awful and it's not funny. It's tragic, but it's also like in this hubristic sense. Like, did either of you see the tweet that was circulating a couple days ago at Chad Kimball One, which I guess he's a Tony nominated actor from Come From Away. But he said, respectfully, I will never allow a governor or anyone to stop me from singing, in all caps, let alone singing worship to my God. Folks, absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is not about safety. It's about power. That was also capitalized. I will respectfully disobey these unlawful orders. Hashtag tyranny, hashtag truth, which was about choirs, bands, and ensembles not being able to perform during services and people not being allowed to sing. So it is like such a symbol. I think the symbolism of like, you can't sing. I think especially for this intersection of like musical theater kid and Christian persecution complex, but it's like, well, I gotta sing. I can't live. You can't keep me from singing. Very, very interesting to observe. In people.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was like a musical theater QAnon contingency.
Oh, neither. Honey.
I mean, I guess it's in every group now, right? Like,
yeah.
What, musical theater?
Go high or go low. Well, yes, and also QAnon.
Yeah. Yeah. Which do you think is worse for the culture? Musical theater kids or QAnon?
Musical theater. When they combine.
You like you musical theater, Caroline.
I know. I just saw an opportunity.
You love
Gypsy.
And
I went for it. Oh, I don't know. It wasn't my better self.
If somebody, you have to bully someone who's like, I gotta sing. Like, like that guy's being. And like normally you would want to bully that guy. But now it's like he's actually dangerous.
Now would be an act of courage for me to do that.
That's the thing. It's not like, and even though it would be a different sort of ethical question if it was, I need to see my grandma and she has cancer and the doctors are saying I can't come into the hospital room or I can't be with my wife when she's delivering the baby. But the fact of like, I can't hit that high G in the bridge.
If I can't sing Sloppy Wet Kiss every Sunday, I am going to be oppressed.
Oh, it's so funny. Okay. Well, you know what, Molly? You may not be a member of any church officially, but you just became a member of the First Church of GCF, of Good Christian Fun.
Oh, wow.
And you're welcome here and loved here anytime that you come. And you can sing all you want over Zoom and in the privacy of your own home.
Wow. No wonder everybody gets into this.
Yeah. You do have to tithe about 40% of your income, but that's
Yeah,
for the greater good.
And to complete the membership, we will need you to recruit 5 other members to the Church of GCF.
Wait,
and you need to be alert. You need to have your phone at all times. I might send you a question mark. And you have to send back the letters GCF at any
Day. So this is Nexium, is what you're saying?
Yes. But instead of volleyball, it's ping pong.
Well,
which I think is easy.
Yeah. Which is more fun.
Yeah. And you don't have to dress up for as much. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Good Christian Fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christmas Fun. It's time for a segment we've been doing on the show this year. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles.
And someone showed up to the singles mixer with some...
Ho, ho, hallelujah!
Oh, I forgot about that part. He did say ho, ho, hallelujah. So, yes, thank you. Thank you, Santa.
What does hallelujah make happen?
Well, makes me bust down.
We're going to find out. Oh, shit.
Wait, does Santa seem... Santa doesn't seem Christian to me.
He's not.
Let's explore
this.
He's
not, this. Right?
He's not Christian.
He seems distinctly Jewish to me.
Oh.
Is that wrong to say?
I think he's distinctly...
Let's check the message boards.
Yeah, I don't
invented
know.
By... I mean, well, Jesus is a Jew, so that makes sense.
Right.
Right? Right?
I just like... Yeah, like the his person... I know historically...
He's invented by...
he was a Catholic, but...
He was invented by the Coca-Cola company, right?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that is why he doesn't seem Christian, because of the godless Coke executive.
The Coke brothers, as I call them. Wait, yeah, what about him strikes you as Jewish, Caroline? I want to drill that down a little more.
I don't know.
Abandoned ship, Caroline.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable.
Let's draw some parallels. Let's...
Because, like, he's not Christian, but he is, like, rooted in history. And
you know
he's
what?
Like,
he's more, to me, he's, like, a druid. I see what you're saying about, like, it's not part of the Christian pantheon. He's more like Zeus or something from the Greek pantheon. Or he feels more connected to the original traditions that Christmas comes out of that are all the pagan winter tree festival type stuff. He seems very, like... Wicker man, like green, you know, green forest man.
He's elfin. Yeah.
Elvish.
Right? He's an elvish.
He's bringing the elvish for authenticity.
No. I just feel like he also, he's never breaking a sweat. He just can't be bothered.
Well,
he
no, because
like,
he's running
I know
a freaking sweatshop.
What I'm doing.
Yeah.
Then he's not Jewish.
Yeah, because he's firmly anti-union. So let's explore that a little bit.
That's right.
So it's Singles Ministry. We're talking about the old Christmas standard. Do you hear what I hear? Molly, what is your experience generally with Christmas music and your relationship with it? You had said to me before that you've written about it a little bit.
Yeah, we were just trying to think of things that are Christian pop culture that I do have experience with. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, I've always liked Christmas music because, again, it's so weird. It's mm-hmm. such a weird subgenre of music. And the idea that there's like a type of music that you only listen to at one time of the year is mm-hmm. the weirdest idea.
The only thing we have that's close to it is I guess like summer jams or when we, you know.
Like but even then, those like can go into the fall and the spring. Like mm-hmm. a Christmas song, like once Christmas is over, you're not going to hear the Mariah song on the radio again mm-hmm. until maybe the next November. You know?
I do wish we had more like seasonal music. Like in April, we listen to classical.
Let's get a Columbus Day playlist going.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, there's something nice about weather changes your listening habits.
But yeah, I was in chorus always, so I did a lot of like Christmas shows where we would sing Christmas standards.
The Moneymakers.
Yeah, and that's where I sang probably the only Christian music I sang in a group, you know? And I loved doing it because I love singing in a group, because who doesn't? It's fun.
Let me ask then, what, after all that singing about Jesus and the Christ child and the manger and the baby Jesus, etc., what is like your feeling about the baby Jesus story at this point?
Oh, I mean, the fact that the baby Jesus is like its own character separate of adult Jesus.
It's like Yoda and baby Yoda. It's two separate entities.
The child, Kevin, and Yoda.
Yes.
Yeah, so all of the baby Jesus stuff is really funny to me, I guess,
because
they're singing to a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a powerful baby.
He's a powerful baby, and they all know.
Extreme power.
Yeah. Now, did you have any like particular Christmas albums that were standard rotation in
the
household?
I mean, my parents would put on the Phil Spector Christmas album. It's very big in our house. The
Absolutely.
Frank Sinatra Christmas album. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of Springsteen Christmas songs.
Okay, now we're talking. Yes.
But yeah, nothing super religious. But I feel like even the really rockin' Christmas albums always have like one song at least where they're like, now we're gonna slow it down and do this.
Do the
really
altar call.
Do this love song for the baby Jesus.
A ballad for the babe.
But to me, you know, even Santa Claus is coming to town, and that's kind of Christ coming to earth in a way.
Yeah, similar. It's similar.
It's like a one for one for me. And that's just my lens. That's just how I see the world.
Right.
Like rocking around the Christmas tree. The tree in question is a cross.
Oh, God. So is everyone just dancing around a cross?
Oh, you just reminded me. I was also in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Hey!
Whoa! What part?
Chorus?
Just in the chorus, okay. But, you know.
Important. One of the,
yeah. Backup singer on the title song. So.
Oh, dang.
I love that shit. Okay. Well,
yeah,
the song in question we're listening to, Caroline, I'd ask you about Christmas music, but we've done this 4 years in a row.
Yeah, we've covered
whatever.
It quite
Yeah, it's
a bit.
Fine. It's good.
I have nothing new to share either. It's not like I discovered a bunch of Christmas music this year.
You didn't? Why not?
No. I bet you did, probably. I feel like you're always like, you keep your playlist fresh.
I try to, but they
mine
do get
nice
a little
and stale.
Dusty. Yeah. Mine get dusty too. I'm less of a explorer on Spotify than you. Yeah. How do you find new music, Molly? Just tell me real quick.
Oh, I just use YouTube. I don't think I've ever been on Spotify.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I don't like it, and I just kind of avoided it. And I just always...
Wow.
I don't like the format, and I like that YouTube has the, like, algorithm just shows you a bunch of other things you might like. And that's how I found all the Christian yacht rock. Because if you find one... It leads to more. Well, it just
radicalized.
To me, it like more simulates the feeling of digging for music at a record store or something, which is what I like. You know?
I think that's true, especially because YouTube, there's wild stuff on there that wouldn't be on any of the streaming.
Here, can I play you an amazing song?
Yeah. Yes. Here, wait, do you want to send me the link so I can play it here?
Yeah,
here
that's
we can
what I meant.
To
I'm gonna put it in the chat.
Oh, please, yes. I know. By the way, meetings, like chat. Talking to someone who's not on Spotify does feel like meeting a person who says, no, I don't use Amazon.
Yeah,
that's right.
Say,
I also
like,
don't use Amazon.
Whoa.
I don't like getting stuff delivered.
Wow.
I like going to the store. She I never want to give up to going do. To the
you
store.
Don't like you don't like getting mail?
You still like going to the store?
Package it?
I mean, I now
freedom,
I just...
Kevin.
Now I feel too guilty about the people working in the warehouses during COVID. You know, I think it's like my brain goes too much to the like, who does have to do this if I don't have to do it? Who?
Yeah.
No, that is
who's
the
on the line
thing to think through.
No, full.
But I use, but I'm not like, I use lots of other things that are totally unethical and corporate. I just don't like the format of those two.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sending you a song in the chat.
Can't wait. Okay, here we go. This is a song from Molly. This is a song called, this is Michael and Stormy O'Martian. Is that how you pronounce their last name, I assume? Michael and Stormy O'Martian. This is called Dr. Jesus. This is something she found on YouTube. Let's take a listen.
Dr. Jesus, it hurts so bad right here. Or would you be so kind to check here deep inside my heart and just below my mind?
Well, this man,
yes, Michael,
chill with the lyrics.
Quite a while, a lifetime, I believe.
This rocks.
Just wait,
I've
just wait.
Everything I know of. And it never seems to leave. I've heard you're the only specialist who's ever had the cure.
Kind of a Randy Newman vibe.
It is a Randy Newman.
Specialist.
A wound that's always there. You come highly recommended. Back millions of
it's like
say,
Jesus is a doctor.
If you he is the metaphor has been stretched.
Oh, but hold on, because this is just the intro.
Oh my God. You know what? Molly's right. Spotify sucks. This is not on Spotify.
We've been wasting our time.
I don't believe. It's
not on Spotify?
Well, I mean, I think on YouTube there are just more people uploading their own weird record collections like this.
Yeah,
I found this
gems.
On a channel on YouTube called Old School Christian.
Yeah. This getting the Michael and Stormy O'Martian deal worked out was not high on Daniel X's priority list over at Spotify HQ. And I understand why.
Kevin.
But we were made worse and rot for it. Good.
Damn.
Gracious
I'm upset
almighty.
That we haven't covered that on like worst or best Christian song of all time. We got to get around to that.
Yeah. Well, let's just do it right now. Let's give it a roast or a toast. No, just kidding. We won't do that. But
for the record, toast.
Toast, yeah, of course.
For sure.
Right, it's very like Doobie Brothers. It's just like a lot of music could be about Jesus if you wanted it to be.
Yes, and he is a good doctor.
Premise of this
he's
show.
He's a good doctor.
Yeah.
And you know what? He gives you healthcare for free.
Right. Jesus loves Medicare
Universal.
For all. Universal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is going for single payer, but, you know, we're working on it.
Wow. We got some Spotify, or some YouTube, rather, crate digging to do in our future. What a nice discovery. Oh, my Lord. Well, the song we're here to talk about is not nearly as esoteric and shocking or surprising in that
You know
way.
What? It is.
It turns out. Well, it kind of is.
Yeah,
so
this is
Do You Hear What I Hear? I guess everyone maybe, we all like read on it.
The same Wikipedia page about it.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was shocked.
So I'll start with this factoid. I think this is our first song we've covered that was written technically by a Nazi. At least for a teeny tiny time.
Right, technically.
That's why I put the technically.
But then...
Excuse me.
Yes, so well, Noel Regney, he was a Frenchman, he was a serious musician, and then when they were invaded, he was drafted against his will into the German army, and then he left them and then lived in the French underground after that.
Well, come on.
He's really cool, it turns out. Yeah, he was like conscripted into the SS and he didn't want to be in it, so he ambushed the Nazis. He like... went
Whoa.
Resistance against them and then led a bunch of Nazis into an ambush.
What?
So he's actually super cool. And then the lady who wrote the music for Do You Hear What I Hear?
Gloria Shane. So that it's a husband and wife writing duo, not unlike a Goffin and King back in the day. Or I guess in the future day from where they were. But husband and wife duo, they met. She was playing piano at a hotel when he moved to Manhattan. And he moved there to write commercial jingles and things for the radio. And he saw this gorgeous woman playing this gorgeous music at the piano. He was like, hell yeah. And they met and they started talking. And then they like fell in love, got married, and became a writing duo. They also wrote the song Rain, Ray, Go Away, Come Again Another Day. That's them as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote that song. It's just
two
crazy.
Classics.
I know. It's like, it's almost like the idea of like someone wrote A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, it's right. Like a birthday song.
The birthday song.
Just, yeah, it's bizarre.
Mildred and Patty Hill. That's the only Jeopardy question I would ever do well on.
You're screaming, Kevin, please.
Am I screaming?
Relax.
Mildred and Patty Hill. And you do carry on the spirit of Trebek by being exhausted with me right now.
Losers know this. R.I.P. We miss you. Yeah, this is also the first song I think we've covered that is about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That was the shocking surprise. Mm-hmm. I had no idea until reading the Wikipedia that this song was written for the Cuban Missile Crisis as a peace, an anti-war, anti-nuclear, pro-peace song.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought this was a religious song.
Totally.
Because it's about the baby Jesus so much.
This has Sunday school written all over it.
I thought, it's just one of those ones that sounds much older than it is. It's from like 1962.
This is like the opposite of what happens at In-N-Out where you get your burger and your milkshake and then you look under the cup and it's like, wait, it's Christian? This is, this Christian song. Wait, it's about, it's technically a sort of protest song from 1962.
Right, it's technically a sort of protest song that's written by like a person who turned against the Nazis and a Jew.
And a Jewish pianist. It was written a response to the existential dread in the Cold War. The way Regney tells the story in the studio, the producer was listening to the radio to see if we had been obliterated. And then en route to my home, I saw two mothers with their babies in strollers. The little angels were looking at each other and smiling. That inspired the first line of the song, said the night wind to the little lamb. So it was directly inspired by that mood of Cold War fear at the time.
And can you imagine listening on the radio to find out if your nation will explode soon? Like that
instead
kind
of TikTok,
dread. And not have it in a funny video
too
on
slow,
TikTok
too slow.
In 20 seconds. Like, oh, but just, I mean, like, I guess we can all sort of relate a little bit now of feeling that like really intense dread every day. But like that feeling is awful. And I feel so much compassion for people who live through that.
There's something about finding, you know, because I was kind of like, yeah, all the good Christmas songs are generally written by people who are not Christian or, you know, aren't super religious. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, a lot of the commercial songs were written by Jewish songwriters, like Tin Pan Alley people.
Sure.
And also just like Christmas isn't even that old. There aren't, you know, it's kind of a...
Right.
Well, you know, commercial Christmas is like a relatively
like
new phenomenon.
Yeah, like Christmas as we know it now.
Yeah. The things that Christmas songs are selling us.
Yes.
Fully.
Yeah, like a lot of the classics are from the 40s and 50s. Like they're not even, they're beyond like the hymns and, you know, things like that. But yeah, they're all in like this frozen in this very specific time.
Yeah, it's all this like, you know, and it represents this kind of like American, you know, a time of great prosperity that like will never come again, probably. Just like the music itself has so much nostalgia wrapped up in it. And then it's like a lot of it's written by people who like don't even celebrate Christmas. So it's that thing of just like your nose pressed up against the window and like, you know, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
Red-headed like, bitch, I think is his name.
Fred.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's
weird. You can say that because you are also a redhead. So
that's allowed. Right. No, and he's part of the community, so it's kind of something we can say. Yes. I identify with Rudolph. What's that?
Yeah. I was a part of the community.
No, you've appropriated the community and you've infiltrated yourself into the community.
Wow, a lot of gatekeeping in the community is what I found out.
Well, on patreon.com/redheadedbitches, you can join
and
be included. But yes, they even went as far as to say that they had a hard time singing, the husband and wife had a hard time singing the song live because it made them so sad to think about, even though it's like a joyous song.
I thought it was like they couldn't perform it because it was too political, but that would make more sense.
No, I think it hides its politics pretty well. I think it was just like their emotional reaction and response to it that
yeah,
was
the... Because I feel like there are a lot of songs that are, you know, were once really just like up for debate, you know, were once radioactive in some way, to maybe mm-hmm. not use the best term, but now we think of as like wallpaper.
Yeah,
just to find yeah. Just especially this one, because this one to me is like, it's on every Christmas album, everybody covers this song, and it's not like a banger, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like the can Pachelbel, whatever yeah. it is. There's some Christmas songs that are just like, you know, get you amped. This one's more like end of the night, drinking some eggnog, just wondering what the baby Jesus is up to right now.
Right, which the sort of like melancholic feeling that you might have felt even intuitively or instinctually
right.
all your life listening to it fully makes sense given yes. the context of mm-hmm. this husband and wife grieving over the state of the world.
Yeah.
The state of suspense.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I do think there is something Jewish about that kind of like melancholy Christmas song, because a lot of them are so melancholy. And yeah. that's why I love the Sinatra Christmas album, especially mm-hmm. is because it's just like a depression album, you know?
Yeah, he's yeah. like an Elliott Smith forerunner. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, like there's a time and place Needle also the for head. for the Mannheim Steamroller
mm-hmm.
to just put me in my feelings. But I think all the most beloved Christmas songs are like pretty sad.
Yeah, at their core. Yes. Now, yeah. given that rich history, it was of course made a hit by Bing Crosby, other artists. There's a pretty funny Robert Goulet cover of it as well,
which they said was their favorite.
Yeah, because he screams
really?
Peace. Yeah,
because he's angry. And, yeah, and they like, were like, he's peace. The only one who got it. He's the one who got that. It was like an
wow.
anti-war song.
He doesn't sound
song.
That angry. I could play a little bit of it, but
Robert Goulet, like anti-war activist. Gets it.
All right, let's see. Okay, here it is. Does this sound like an angry man to you?
Hear what I hear. A song high above the tree with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea.
Maybe anger was different back then.
Seems triumphant.
Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king.
Mighty king. I don't know. It doesn't sound that angry to me.
I take back what I said about it not being a banger. That bucked.
It can bang.
Yeah.
It can bang.
Well, and now given the rich history of it, all the covers that we've come to know, one of which includes the Whitney Houston cover, which...
That's the best one.
Yeah, maybe.
Ooh,
my...
Can we hear a little bit of that?
Yeah.
I don't think I've listened to it.
Oh, of course.
Intentionally.
Okay, here we go. This is Do You Hear What I Hear by Whitney Houston. And I'm going to play the Whitney Houston original version, not the Pentatonix plus Whitney Houston version that they did.
No, they didn't. They didn't do that.
Posthumously.
They did not hologram her onto their song.
As a matter of fact, they didn't.
Okay, that is unholy.
We as a culture need to cast out Pentatonix. It is time.
Yeah, and maybe we're complicit by playing that Dr. Anthony Fauci drop every episode.
The voice as big as the
That's a yes from me, dog.
That's a yes.
The best.
And here's a no from me, dog.
Oh, no.
I'm not even going to play it. It sucks.
Don't platform Pentatonix on this show.
I think that's the platforming we need to abolish most. It's not Shapiro and Peterson and all the Joe Rogan, Alex Jones nonsense. It's Pentatonix by
It's a leftover
moms.
From the acapella culture that took hold of us.
It's all
the
connected. They're all controlled by Pentatonix.
Did we all listen to the third day version of this song?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play
a
little bit of it. This is Third Day from their album.
I always want to call him Mac Miller. That's not it, right?
It's not Mac Miller. No, it's Mac Powell. It's a little... He plays with the melody a little bit in this interesting sort of southern roots sort of way.
The night went to the little lab. Do you see what I see?
This is like the True Detective version.
Yes, it is. Slow-mo shots of Woody Harrelson in a field.
Dancing in the night with a tear as big as a kite. With a tear as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky.
I think it sounds okay. I think it sounds okay. Mostly.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like
know.
Parts of
maybe,
it.
Maybe this is a mental illness, but I just like the sound of this song very much. And I don't like his style usually.
Do you see what
I think that might just be the power of a really good song, though.
It's the song about so shining the singer
good.
In a lot of cases.
Yeah. And the melody of this song is so unexpected, I guess. It's just really well written.
Well, Caroline, I can test that theory for you a little bit. This is a cover of it by someone
push me
in similar esteem to Mac Powell. This is Mr.
Said
Bob Dylan.
The night went to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Oh, yeah. This album also gets played in my house a lot.
I played this a lot in college.
I still don't understand why people listen to Bob Dylan. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I didn't grow up with it, but I just, how do you call that music? Like, how do you listen?
You sound like a parent right now. How do you call
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but
that's what people said about hip hop or punk. Like, to
you
me,
you sound like a Greatest Generation parent. You're like, this yeah. doesn't sound like the swing music of my
hip-hop
day.
Hip-hop is good. Swing is good. What is Bob Dylan? Like, that is a cartoon voice.
Have you ever listened to his Christian period albums?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, we have.
Yeah.
I was blinded by the devil, but I'm ready for the wind. This is said the night went to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? So this song is basically a game of telephone. The night went to the lamb, lamb to a shepherd boy to a king, king said to the people. So it's about spreading the good news and the peace to everybody in the land.
Yeah, it has to go from nature to animals to the people in power, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, starting with a fart, which is the, you know, night wind.
That's how everything starts.
If you will. And then a little boy hallucinating that a farm animal is speaking special revelation.
Normal.
A shepherd boy.
I always like when people talk a lot about the shepherds aspect of the nativity story. Because I just like them. They seem the most relatable and the most... I don't know. They're the best audience surrogate for the story.
They're the working class of the Bible.
They are the working class.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be so bewildered if I were them. And so I like that we get to just feel it along with them. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Shepherd boy said to the mighty king, do you know what I know? Which is funny. Like, did you hear what? Like a lamb said something. Okay, what? But then the little boy
you're going to prison.
Yeah, he's so convincing, though, that the king's like, shit, I have to tell freaking everybody.
Let's get on the horn.
And he's like, I don't know, but he was real convincing in the moment. So peace, I guess it's peace. That's the underlying thing I'm trying to get across here. And I did think of you, Caroline, with a star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. Just freaking absolute caboose on that thing.
Just with like Cats.
What's
like
that?
Just like the movie Cats.
Oh, yeah. Just think about freaking Mr. Mistopheles. Just wiggling that thing around,
can't
baby.
Stop thinking about him.
Oh my god.
Also, I mean, a nativity of sorts, the musical Cats.
I'm getting this might come out on my 1 year anniversary of having seen Cats in a movie theater, and I'm getting legitimately emotional about it.
Me too.
Hey, stop jacking off just because you didn't have a good experience, Caroline. Wait, did you have a good experience with it, Molly?
The oh yeah, and it was the last movie I ever saw. So.
Really?
Oh. I like rarely go to theaters, but we like convinced some friends who aren't even fans of Cats to see it, and we all had an incredible time. It was actually a great last movie to see.
Yeah, I would have been happy if that was my last movie. I would have preferred that to what I saw for my last movie. Sonic for the fourth time. Yeah.
That's fine.
It was Emma. I saw Emma.
It was Trolls World Tour.
No.
Oh yeah. Classic.
Yes. A tail as big as a kite. I think that's missile imagery, right? That's what I took it to be.
Now I'm just rethinking everything I thought I knew about this song.
A star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. Like, that's the missile trip. Wait, I'm not trying to be like
but
an Alex Jones
would be like
chemtrail person, by the way. Like, it's in the song. The frogs are going
but
gay.
They wouldn't want to celebrate the mistletail. The mistletoe.
Mistletoe. They were married. They were probably kissing when they wrote this song under the mistletail. Guys, we figured it out.
Mistletail.
What if we kissed under the mistletail? I want a Tumblr graphic
as a treat. Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't like that. I feel like that was not their strongest lyric in this.
Big as a kite.
I don't like that.
Okay, if I was in, you know, with
long as a kite,
respectful boundaries. Like, say I was in a committed relationship with this person, I said, "Honey, you got a tail as big as a kite." How do you think that'd go over?
It's just wrong too, because like they're talking about the kite's tail. It's just frustrating to me, not the kite itself. So I'm thinking of like a kite size.
I've always thought the lyrics to this song were totally weird, and finding out they were written by somebody who English is not their first language makes it make more sense also.
Oh, that's true. Right? He's a Frenchman.
He's a French guy. These feel like
with a voice as big as the sea.
Yeah, just like all the metaphors are a little bit like, what does that mean? Like a voice as big as the sea, like I get it, but also it's sort of hard to imagine or visualize in any way.
Yeah,
like I just always try to visualize what's happening in the song, and it's like I know we're at the manger and it's the nativity,
but we can all resonate with kite size.
Yeah,
let's bring him silver and gold. By the way, my association with silver and gold biblically is narrative. Or it's negative. Did I say narrative? I meant negative.
You did.
That's
wow,
strange.
Narrative.
Hey, mistletail, narrative.
Tiv, simile.
Amelie. Amelie in Paris.
In Paris, Frenchman wrote this.
Frickin', oh my God.
I think it's cool that his name is Noel.
Can I play a version of the song by Miss Mary J. Blige?
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Jesse J. And the silver and gold part, they go a little.
Jesse J.
They go a little bit wild. Here, I'm going to play it for you. Okay, here's the silver and gold part that they do.
Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Almighty King, Almighty King.
It just turns into a different song. Hey guys, no, it's called, do you hear what I, it's not called Silver and Gold We can do another take. No, no.
They decide to riff on Silver and Gold.
That's what's so fun about a song like this, though, is that it can be interpreted like 100 billion different ways, and I think we heard all of them today.
Oh my God, yes. Well, there's one.
Did we hear all of them, Kevin?
There's one left, Molly, that I think is worth giving a play. And this is, you know what? I'm going to play this for Molly and see if she can identify who this... No, I won't do that. I won't try to play a trick. This is a rendition by Miss Rosie O'Donnell with a special little guest.
Wow.
On it as well.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see?
I would never have gotten that.
Way up in the sky, little lamb.
Oh.
Do you see what I see? A star, a star.
Somehow I knew it was going to be Elmo.
Yes, it's Elmo! It's Rosie O'Donnell and Elmo.
That's kind of me and you, Kevin.
What?
What?
It's kind of me and you. Hear what I hear.
I like how they just auto-tuned the...
No.
Oh my God.
Was this before or after she did Tarzan? Like, did Tarzan make Rosie remember, like, I'm a singer, you know?
Is she a singer?
I need to get into the studio.
She really sounds like J-Lo there.
Yeah, she does sound like J-Lo. Oh, my God.
Gang, it was the same Boys year. Twins. It was 1999.
It was the same year as Tarzan?
A year for cinema. Yes, that's right.
Oh, my God. It really did.
I can't recommend a Rosie Christmas enough. This is a album in which she has duets with Donny Osmond, Rosemary Clooney, Elton John, Elmo, Cher, Miss Lauryn Hill, and Angelica Pickles.
I love a cash-in Christmas album.
Did you say Angelica Pickles
That's
from
right.
Rugrats?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Because I feel like there's nothing more cynical than a Christmas cash-in album, but then all the songs are about, like, don't be cynical.
Right.
Right, it's not about commercialism, it's about the spirit.
It's about Jesus.
Hold on, is her album like for children or is it...
It's for all of us. It's for the kids. Okay.
It's for the whole family.
To have Elton John and Angelica Pickles. Wait, Angelica is the bully from Rugrats. She didn't even get...
Yeah.
Like the cute... What's the main kid?
Chucky?
The bald one. No.
Oh, Tommy?
Tommy, yeah. What song does she do
with Angelica? I need to know.
Oh, she does. I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So it's like a rock.
Okay, here's Caroline's favorite music.
God.
This is music to Caroline.
Now this is music. This is a voice. A voice for the ages.
Didn't she play Mama Rose once?
What's that? Oh, probably.
Really?
She did play Mama Rose and Gypsy once.
Gosh,
I'm pro Rosie. I like her.
She was ready to sing.
She did.
And she's like, I have an idea. Christmas album, all my friends, plus cartoons. This is going to be lit.
Now, Caroline, kind of keeping in theme of something we talked about at the beginning of this episode, we don't have only one Elmo version of this song. We do have two.
Oh,
and
thank God.
There is a yes, thank God indeed. There is a version from Elmo's Christmas Countdown with Alicia Keys.
That's when you have to believe the most.
Elmo does?
Absolutely.
She is like 15 on this.
But his harmonies here are so good. He's learned so much in the years since. Listen to him.
Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Oh no.
Dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
Jesus Christ did not descend from heaven.
What?
Born in a barn so that this little puppet could disrespect him.
I disagree. He's honoring it with his earnestness.
He is not reverent to the Lord.
He's being sincere.
He is trying to fuck Alicia Keys, and I don't like that they turned their little love ballad on the stoop, you know? And
I feel like maybe he learned
Christ
a couple
on the cross.
He learned a couple things from Jesse J and and Mary J. Do you think Mary J and Jesse J should have a super group just called the J's?
The J's.
Yeah, and they should have a music video directed by J.J. Abrams. Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Oh, and Michael J. Fox.
Hey.
Oh my God.
Yes. New memoir out now. I mean, I will say, I do think their harmonies are horny. Like, weirdly, sometimes people...
Caroline's right.
I wasn't wrong.
Elmo's trying to fuck.
I don't think so.
They should have done...
Oh, he should have done what?
They should have done like Santa Baby or something a little more. Oh.
Santa Baby is even more fuck time than Do You Hear What I Hear?
They had really good chemistry.
They did.
I know. Yeah. And it is hard to deny.
It's electric.
This is a special... Caroline, I might just make you watch this with me for the podcast or not. I don't care. Because
right.
also in this special are Jamie Foxx, Anne Hathaway, and Kevin James. So,
ooh, I'd watch this.
We might need to watch it. Yes.
Oh, we're going to need to watch that.
I'm going to need to watch that for me. Oh, God. Any other covers we want to highlight before we just rate this freaking song? I mean, there's the Adele Dazeem cover. And there's
We hardly talked about the Third Day one, I guess, but I don't know what else there is to say.
I mean, the Southern Rock.
Got you Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
Everybody's
Well, and
it.
The classic Bing Crosby, who made it famous, right?
Yeah, but he's got enough to shine. We don't need to play him.
I think it was in the Christmas special, which was a lot of songs, I think, got famous. The Spotify of its day, being in the Bing Crosby Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Is that how it got it all? Oh, the big airtime.
Don't you think that, like... And I know there's been scattered ones here and there, like Colbert did a Christmas special, I think, in 2007.
Oh, I loved that Christmas special.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cool. Bill Murray did one, directed by Sofia
Miley
Coppola.
Miley Cyrus, didn't she?
There's a Mariah Carey one coming out.
There is one, yes. Casey Musgraves did one last year or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm.
The Mariah one has Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. They finally made peace.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Weird feud.
See that.
There should be more.
There should be more.
They should be pumping them out, but they should be even weirder than like musicians like Mariah. They should make just strange actors do them.
Yeah.
Like John C. Reilly should host a Christmas special.
Oh yeah.
Or something. Right? That would be fun.
Something like that. That'd be great.
So, he can sing too.
That's my hot tub.
Oh, I like that Amy Sedaris homemaking show, At Home with Amy Sedaris.
Oh yeah.
Did she do a Christmas special?
She does some Christmas episodes. There's a lot of like holiday episodes and they're very funny and fucked
up. Oh, is that the one where Nutmeg comes in too?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
And Amy Sedaris just kind of feels like Christmas regardless, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she gets the balance of wholesomeness and fucked upness.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfectly.
Okay, well, let's rate this song. The way this works, Molly, is we're going to give it a holy toast or a holy roast. Holy toast, we send it up to heaven. And that's when we say to this song,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Holy roast, that's a thumbs down. We send it to hell and we say,
no, 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 no.
And we'll start with Caroline.
I'm going to give this a holy toast with a caveat that you have to bring something to the table, because this song very easily becomes a plodding, sad, slow thing. So
yeah, the call and response can be like, yeah, it can test your patience a little bit. Like,
it's a repetitive song too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're not bringing something to the table, don't do it. You know who I'm talking to. Rosie. So,
the definitive
version. But if you bring a little spice to the table, it's going to be fabulous. And so, a holy toast, great song, great songwriters, and, you know, no more nuclear war.
Beautiful gowns. For now. We'll turn it to Molly.
I, too, am going to give it a holy toast. I think learning more about this song really made me appreciate it. And now that I know it's anti-war, I won't be able to unhear that about it. And it made me like it more.
Yes.
Hell yeah. I, too, will give it a holy toast. Do you hear what I hear? Welcome to the resistance. but we're not the final word on this song. I mean, I will say, I'll give it a holy toast. But the... keep in mind, the version I'm thinking of is Rosie and Elmo, the definitive version of this
and
song.
You meant the resistance, like in iconic. Star Wars. Like,
and I meant the resistance in Star Wars, yes.
Because Baby Yoda is Jesus.
Yes, that's right. Wait, what if the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda did this song on the Mandalorian, like for
I
a
would
Christmas special?
Cream my pants. Oh my God.
God.
He's got such a good voice, too.
Ooh. Baby Yoda.
Pedro?
Yeah, Pedro.
Oh, I can't wait for the musical episode of Mandalorian. So.
yes.
I love IP. But we're not the final word on this. Go to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter. And you can give it a roast or a toast yourself. Get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
Love it. Love it. I'm so happy. I'm so happy with that as the new drop. We did it, Joe.
We finally got one.
We did it. Okay. All right, Molly. All right, Caroline. Now we're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. We're lighting the candles for the Christmas Eve service. And everyone's got a little candle and the wax is dripping.
The best service.
And it's got one of those little paper things around it. But still, your dad is like dripping it on the pew in front of him and making a just a little mess everywhere. And, Molly, on other shows, you might plug yourself and your social media handles and promote your projects, but we're not here to do that. We're here to lift them up and give them to little baby Jesus in the manger as a humble and loving sacrifice to him by saying our projects and social media handles. And we start with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts online. And this week, I'm going to lift up something I've lifted up before, but continues to be my go-to mood lifter, good time show, Detroiters. It's great. I think I had to buy it on Amazon Prime this time, but it's worth every penny.
Well, Molly doesn't even know what you're talking about because she doesn't even use Amazon.
I don't know what Detroiters is.
But she knows what Detroiters are. Yeah, excuse me.
It's a great show. It's
no,
great...
she hasn't heard of any shows.
I don't even have a
It was getting that way where it's like, your last movie was Cats. You don't use Amazon or
just
Spotify.
Just at the end, I'm like, actually, guys, I'm a Mennonite, but I thought that wasn't important to talk about.
This is literally the only outfit I own. I watch it every day.
I feel like the Mennonites get the best deal because they get to use like some technology.
Yeah. Best of both worlds, like Miley Cyrus.
A cloister together.
Good outfits.
Thank you, Caroline. Beautiful gowns. Thank you, Caroline. We'll turn it to Molly.
Thanks so much, guys. I'd like to lift up my Twitter. Is it Molly Lambert?
Great follow.
Twitter.com. And you can find me on patreon.com/ Molly's Sleazy Friends and at Night Call Podcast on iHeartRadio.
Great shows. Beautiful shows.
Yes.
Thank you, Molly. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll lift up David Burns' American Utopia, which I watched finally this past week. It's good.
It's good.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have a little emotional connection to it too because they were the musical guests when I visited SNL. So I realized in retrospect they were the last musical performance I saw in the old world. Caroline, stop jacking off.
She was doing a dance move from Cats.
Oh, my
bad.
No,
this is American Utopia.
It was that's a jellicle. Like
right? No, this is a guitar. This is a bass guitar.
That's not a bass guitar I've ever played. I'll tell you that much.
She's doing the big suit.
No, it's all out of envy. I do think it's so cool. You got to see him live.
Who took the money?
I mean, iconic moment. It's really cool.
You can lift us up everywhere at Christian Fun Pod. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. Caroline, what is this month's charity?
Oh, I'm excited to tell you about this month's charity. It's the Okra Project.
You get a car! Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's what you were doing. When you sent that GIF reaction, I did not get it. I was like, are bees attracted to okra? Anyway, Kevin sent me an Oprah GIF. But anyway, the project is great. It's a mutual aid collective. It provides support to Black, trans, non-binary, and gender non-conforming people. And it mostly provides meals for them. Really good home-cooked meals. So great organization. Check them out.
Hell yeah. Molly, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, friend. What a fun time.
Thanks for having me. It was so fun talking to you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left to say except for... And all of Pod's people said,
like a tail of a kite.
Like a freaking tail of a kite. Let's go out with the best version of this song. Alicia Keys and Elmo singing, Do You Hear What I Hear? Oh, there's also a choir that shows up, by the way.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.